is the Tom Likas Show.
I'm not Barack Obama.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear that.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Yes.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptown.com. Our podcast is available on demand. Just go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. Thank you for tuning into the bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show, and we are joined, as we are every Tuesday, live at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, by attorney Adam Sachs, this week in his guise as criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Good to see you in person.
Hey, Tom, sitting in the studio with you.
Yep, that's right.
I missed you. I haven't been here in a while, eh?
No, I figured it out. I was up at the ranch. The listeners don't necessarily know because I don't talk about it every day, but I was literally gone for 18 days.
Wow.
Not 18 shows, 18 days.
But look at you, so chipper today. You know, you're all rested up, I think.
Yes, I am. So. I'm rested up. I took two trips to the harbor in Santa Barbara to eat fried clams and drink beer.
All right.
And during that time, I did a lot of cooking, went to a movie, watched a lot of Sunset.
What'd you see?
I saw Chef, the Jon Favreau movie.
Oh, there you go. How was that?
It was fantastic.
Excellent.
Anybody who's interested in food trucks, restaurants, chefs, it's L.A., Miami in the movie. It's all good. A very good movie. Very enjoyable. And Jon Favreau is the lead. He also wrote the movie and directed it.
Yeah, he's a great talent.
He is a great talent. And I enjoyed the hell out of this movie. I really did. So it's only playing in a few theaters, and if you can find it, it's called Chef. Go see it. But, yeah, that's some of the things I did with a little free time. Knocked out a little work that I haven't had time to do. I'm working every day, but there's a bunch of projects that involve sitting on hold for 3 hours at a time. I knocked a lot of that stuff out, too. Yes, but now I'm back in the studio.
Yeah, and we were doing the show the whole time, and no one would have even known, right? I mean, we're doing it with the brick.
Yes, the brick.
Truly amazing.
It is amazing. It is amazing because, you know, the fact is, back in the radio days, I used to take 7 weeks vacation plus holidays. So I was out a lot. It was like one out of every 7 or 8 weeks I was off. Having the brick means I can. It feels like vacation. I just come in and knock out a few hours on the show every day, and literally step out of the studio and into my beautiful patio where I sit and watch sunset for 2 hours. It's great, fantastic.
So I want to talk about criminal law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is something that really is a truth in the United States, in particular. And as much as we love our system or we believe in our system so much, there is a certain cruelty, and that's certainly true in healthcare, where uninsured people end up, you know, getting a bill in the mail for $50,000 or whatever. And your average Joe who gets in trouble has to hire an attorney, and, you know, you're talking about serious money under some circumstances. Now, I do cases, you know, that are more of the middle ground, like DUIs and so forth. Maybe that's a few thousand dollars. But, you know, somebody who gets charged with something more serious, the legal cost could be much more, $50,000, $100,000, whatever. And there was an interesting thing that was on the air the other day with a famous lawyer from Harvard Law School, Alan Dershowitz. And I think actually Dean J. D'Amelio actually knew the guy, had spoken to him a few times when they were setting up shows.
I've interviewed him many times.
Yeah, yeah. He's certainly, I think he's retiring. He's a real old saw at the whole thing. But he was saying, and this is really a very interesting factor, and this is something that people have to ponder. This is a very, very difficult problem for me in practice on, you know, some of the medium cases, and it definitely gets to be very frightful on the bigger cases. But, you know, what do you actually do? What ends up happening is that, you know, somebody, let's say, legitimately enough, is really actually innocent, like for real innocent. Now, everyone deserves a lawyer, don't get me wrong, and I've represented people that were guilty, I'm sure. But, you know, what if you really are innocent? And then you have a situation where you're facing a trial, which is a crapshoot, and the attorney wants, I don't know, $25,000 to do it. And you legitimately could be found not guilty and go home and forget about it, owe a lot of money. Or you could be found guilty, which is obviously possible. It's the downside of it all. Even though you're innocent, the justice could go wrong for you. And you could end up having to serve years in jail, having a criminal record, etc. What happens in the meantime? The prosecutor comes forward to your lawyer and offers you to take a deal. Now, this is very reminiscent in the Likas lexicon of what happened to you with that domestic case in Boston. There was actually some nasty little comment about you, Tom, which I defended you very vigorously.
Yes. About Boston?
Nah, someone brought it up as usual said, look, it proves that he's guilty because he pled guilty or whatever, you know? And on some level, you know, people don't understand how the system really works. And what ends up happening is once the ball starts rolling down the hill, you know, the snowball, it's hard to stop it. And as I recall, you were offered a deal which made sense to take. It was dangerous not to.
And by the way, it ended up I was convicted of nothing because by completing the 6 months
right.
going in
it and killed it.
Being browbeaten by a lesbian, there was no conviction. It was the diversion program, and that
right.
means I was not convicted. That person was
right. wrong. I understand.
No, but they don't understand.
Oh, I understand. Right. One of the. Okay, I agree with you. You took diversion. I don't mean to get technical about that, but I think and I don't. You know, I'm not on this person's side whatsoever. But what they were trying to say was, why would someone take a deal if they're innocent? And the deal being diversion or conviction or whatever it is. But here it is: someone faces a trial, a real crapshoot, could go to jail for a number of years. I have a case like this right now, and the DA comes forward and says, look. You know, something like 99% of cases don't get tried anyway. People don't realize that because people are watching television. It looks like there's trials all the time. Most lawyers do very few trials. So here you have this thing where 99% or more get pled. So you have the DA come forward and say, look, if you plead guilty, you're going to pay a fine. You're going to have to do these shitty classes with the lesbian. Maybe you're going to be on probation for a number of years. But that will be the end of it. And it's very traumatic if you think about someone who truly is innocent.
Yeah.
And by the way, over the years, Tom, whatever it was, I'm absolutely convinced of your innocence in that Boston thing.
By the way, 21 years have passed. I've never had another run-in with the law.
Well, you've never had another case of domestic violence.
Never.
See, that's especially significant because you've had any number of relationships. And this is something generally that's a person's pattern behavior from childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about someone who had it 20 years ago and never had it again, that speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe you anyway. But the point is that when you talk about this client of mine right now in particular, and there's a few of them like this, he says to me, look, I don't know what the hell to do because the deal that they're offering is not bad. If I say I'm guilty, I'm going to be on probation a number of years, pay a few thousand in fines, whatever, but that'll be the end of it. And then, as you know, Tom, I go back and get it expunged. Okay? On the other hand, if we go to trial, it's going to cost an arm and a leg. The trial itself, aside from money, is the blood, sweat, and tears of the whole experience.
Yeah.
Now, remember that trial you did in Alaska, which was civil,
yes.
obviously?
Yes.
I mean, is that the biggest fucking pain in the ass ever?
Of course. I had to be in Alaska for 2 months during the winter.
2 months?
During the winter.
Yeah, but having a good time, no. Going to freaking hearings.
There's no place to eat salmon. But I thought I was going to Alaska. At least I'll eat some good salmon.
Good fish, huh?
And they serve that in the summertime. They don't have that in the winter. Many of the restaurants are closed.
So they get it. They ship it to the mainland, but they don't deal with themselves, I guess.
Not in the winter.
The point being that you did what it happened to be Alaska, which makes
right.
it especially shitty.
By the way, in that particular case, the woman who was suing was offered $150,000 to go away
right.
and refused to take it.
Naturally.
Ended up getting way less than that when the trial
zero,
was over.
Zero, I'd say.
Right.
The thing is that when you look at the circumstance like that, to have to face a trial,
yeah.
your case is civil, but we're talking criminal, it doesn't matter. you know, the blood, sweat, and tears of missing weeks of work,
right,
dealing with it. If it's publicized in any way, you know, it's on television, it's humiliating,
right,
people you know.
In Alaska, I was on the front page of the paper every day, literally. Go back to the archives of the Juno, whatever that paper was called. I was literally
on
the
online. We got to give that a try.
It is online.
That.
Yes,
Juno Times.
Yeah, the Juno Herald. I forget what it's called. Right. But anyway, literally my photo was on the front page. Shock, 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 shock. Trial continues.
Shock, shock. Guess what he deserves?
Oh, it was unbelievable. By the way, I'll tell you something about my criminal situation. My attorney told me that I would have won, in his opinion, and he had experience.
There
in
you go,
theory,
see?
But here was the deal. It was February, and I had an offer to start my syndicated show for Westwood One in May, and he told me he couldn't get a trial date until fall, so I would have had to, like, here I am now, I would be a nationally syndicated radio show, and I would have to go back to Boston and face a trial after having left town more than 6 months before.
That disrupts your whole life, God.
So, yes, I took the diversionary program because even though I would have won, and the attorney told me point blank, they do not have the evidence to convict you. I don't believe this ever happened. Your own wife is willing to testify that it never happened under oath. There's no way you're going to lose this case, but do you want to have to come back here in October and disrupt your life?
Right.
And the answer was no.
Right. Yeah. Think about, you know, that's so traumatic. By the way, I found Carpenter versus Westwood One.
Yes.
In a law review article.
Oh, yes, yes.
Look at you, Tom.
It's all in there.
Duke University Law School Law Review.
Yeah, by the way, if you want to see more of my past, all you have to do is go to the Federal Communications Commission Guide on Obscenity.
Oh, there you go.
And there is chapter and verse of shows I did 24 years ago where I asked... A woman called up, and her sexual secret was that she liked to masturbate her prize dog. She was a dog trainer.
Oh, God.
And so I asked her, when she did that, did the dog make a sound? And she didn't want to tell me. I said, come on, do the noise.
Oh, God.
And she started doing this, like, gurgling. And that was one time in the FCC.
Oh, God.
The other, I did a show I asked, the question was, what's the worst tasting thing you ever put in your mouth? And I was expecting people to get
you come up with these topics, Tom.
Actually, I'd heard that one on a talk show in Chicago, and I said, that's good, and I gave the guy credit. It was a radio host named Kevin Matthews in Chicago, and I said, you know what? I like that bit, and we haven't done it here in L.A., but I want to give him credit. And I thought people were going to say things like, you know, when I was a kid, I ate a piece of gum off the floor, I ate a bug. Someone I called in and said, smegma.
Ugh.
That was another find from the FCC.
I remember the best one was when you had the thing from the CRTC from Canada.
Yes.
And they had a transcript of what the show was. And, you know, it's kind of funny when you read it. I mean, I think the worst thing you said was this guy was a retard.
Right.
But I think that was actually the worst. I mean, of the whole thing, it was your usual shtick.
Right.
And I remember reading through it and going, okay, what's, you know, it's not that bad.
Right.
And they just, they got so excited about the word retard.
That,
unbelievable.
That's what did it. That's what got me off the air in Canada. So all you people listening in Canada, we wouldn't be here if not for the internet, because the CRTC got me blown off the air.
Yes, I understand, but for what? For retard?
For calling someone a retard.
That's
Canada
amazing.
Is as politically correct as we are becoming in the United States. Canada
nothing.
Is way worse.
Nothing.
Dean, by the way, looked it up. Thank you, Dean. The Juno Empire is the name of the paper.
The Juno Empire, all right.
I was in there every single day. Every weekday for literally 8 weeks.
Well, you know,
when I was on
the
trial
song,
in Canada,
money,
in Alaska.
Money for Nothing, if you remember that song by Dire Straits.
Yes.
They say the little faggot with the earring and the mink coat.
Right.
That song is banned. That's it. You can't
in
play
Canada,
that.
In Canada.
Yeah.
But not here.
No, but saying faggot. I mean, that like blew their minds. They don't know what to do.
Right.
That's worse than retard.
Here they don't like when you say faggot on the air, but if it's in a song, they're not going to make you take it out.
Anyways. So, here I have a client who's facing a real possibility of going to jail.
Right.
And it could be you, just like this kind of thing we talk about.
Right.
And you know, you say to me, fair enough, you say, listen, Adam, I'm scared. And I say, you know what? I know you're innocent. And I think if we go to trial, we're probably going to win. I can't guarantee it, right? There's too many unpredictable aspects of life.
Yes.
But it seems pretty favorable.
Look at the average boob that's in the jury pool, okay? You're depending on these people.
You know, I took a friend
people
to...
People are giving, they're giving up watching Judge Judy for a couple of weeks.
Forget about Judge Judy. I went to a friend's trial. I had this old friend from college that got charged with some serious financial crimes in federal court in San Diego. And I brought this friend along with me. And we're sitting there in the hallway, and we thought maybe we missed it because the doors were all locked and whatnot. And, you know, there's no one around. The federal courts are kind of, like, sparse, you know, and everything's sort of happening, a lot of electronic stuff, and there's no guards around. It's just these big rooms everywhere, these endless hallways and this big maze of courtrooms. So I'm pretty sure I'm in the right place, and we're sitting there. And I said, let's just sit here for a few minutes. Maybe someone will help us or something. Anyway, so we sit there a few minutes, and this gigantic door opens, and out walks maybe 15 people dressed like slobs, okay? I mean, with T-shirts and shorts and unkempt, and their hair was bad, and they're wearing caps and stuff. And what's this thing you're doing?
I'm making signals to Timpson. You are going to continue saying while
face.
You are talking. It's going to become Radio 101 every week.
I'm getting it, man.
I'm sending
okay,
signals.
I was just kidding. I thought it was
all right,
to
now,
me.
Now I have to tell everybody what I'm doing. I have a 2-liter bottle of Diet Pepsi Wild Cherry here, and I'm trying to take a swing out of it. But the box that I use to
no,
turn my microphone.
No, the coughing thing, the cough button.
No, none of this works.
I know Radio 101. You're supposed to
this
have a cough button.
This doesn't work. We explain this in another hour of the show.
That's precision equipment right there, man.
It is not working, and our technical director has not had the time to come in and fix it. So
that would be Elvis.
Yes, but that's more information than people don't know or need to know. So the bottom line is, so I'm trying to direct Mike to turn the microphone off so I can take a swig of soda while you are talking.
Why can't you just, like, face away from the microphone?
Because it's disruptive. What if I turned away from you, you'd still ask me why I'm looking away. I'm trying to do this in a way that you will not stop talking. You will just keep going.
Okay.
Have you ever seen me give Mike a signal? I'm giving him the cut sign. I'm telling him to turn the microphone off. Leave the mic on so you can hear what you would have been missing. Ready?
Slug, slug. Good, good, good.
That. I didn't want people to have to hear that.
You sure it wasn't vodka, Tom? What is that?
No. This is a 2-liter bottle of Wild Cherry Diet Pepsi. And because I can't turn the microphone on and off, I have to remember, during your appearance here, at some point, I'm going to tell Mike to turn the mic off. Maybe I need to clear my throat. Then turn it on. And you are just going to continue. I'm going to pick a time when I know you're going to be talking for like 30 seconds. And I'm going to give him a signal. I'm going to tell him to cut the microphone off so that I can go, and then he's going to turn it back on. The idea is to have it be flawless, like people don't hear it. Now we have sat here and we've discussed the Pepsi and we've explained what the cut sign is for because I can't turn the mic on and off. The on-air, the red light that says on-air, you turn around, you know where that is? It's not working. You see that vodka bottle over there?
Yeah, but I don't have a button.
You don't need a button. You wouldn't know what to do with it if you had it. The idea is Mikey will handle your button. Okay, Mikey will take care of it.
Okay.
And now Mikey's
faggot.
Handling me.
Mikey, ready?
Faggot.
But so,
so you see
so
what
I'm
this
in
was.
The,
before
I'm in the federal
we, before
court.
We can, I just want to point out, I tried to do this in such a way because I am a lifelong professional.
That's right. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. You started this when you were 14.
Right?
WBAI.
No, WBAB. WBAI was later.
All right, sorry about that. WBAB.
Right.
I mean, you got a certain amount of time on me, Tom.
I do. But everyone's this is you can't see it on the show if you're listening at home, but I'm doing this. It's a cut sign. It's to let him know to turn the mic off.
Well, I ignored it the first time you did it, but then you did it again.
Yes, I needed one time I needed to clear my throat. Another time I needed a sip of liquid here, so I can do the show because it's piggy to be sitting here on the air and
burping and whatnot.
Burping and what? What are you kidding me? Opening the bottle. And then put it into my mouth and going. Faggot. We're trying to avoid doing that. That is the nature of being a professional. I don't want that going into the microphone.
Okay.
But look, You've never seen me do this because all the times you've been here, I could press the off button on the mic and do whatever I need
to
do.
That's what I thought that thing was for, man.
Yeah. Now, by the way, in next week's Radio 101, I'm going to talk to you about typing into your keyboard while the mic is open.
You hear me typing?
Of course.
You're kidding.
No, when I'm at the ranch, because I'm not looking at you, it's very apparent.
I don't believe it. I listened to the show
after. I just told you about it, and I wasn't even here.
First of all, this is that soft touch Mac keyboard.
I'm telling you, I sat at the ranch listening to you typing.
I don't fire. You know, now you've gone too far.
Well, were you typing or not? How did I know that? I was 125 miles away.
Well, speculation. Wait a minute now. I listen to the show, I download it, and I listen to us later on, because I'm a P1, of course, right? I go on to Premium Tom. And when I listen to it, I don't hear typing, unless Mikey does that.
Yeah. He took that note off the air check of the previous show. That's what I'm hearing when you think nobody's hearing it.
All right.
There are no silent keyboards. They don't exist.
That's pretty quiet.
I don't care what you call it. They don't meet the demands of high-quality audio products.
I was in federal court.
Okay.
I see you typing away right there, and you're doing fine.
I'm not typing anything.
You type when you're talking to me.
You know what I normally do? You know why I'm not typing now? Because I can't turn my mic off, and if I did leave it on, you'd hear me typing. And when we are on together, now that we've gone this far down the road, when we are on together and I'm typing, I've turned my mic off.
Wow.
Which I can't do today. So I am not typing while we're doing the show.
You must do it in a very subtle way. Because
no, I turn my microphone off. No,
but I've been doing this show with you for years.
But your mic is on because you never notice. Because the thing is, I press this button and then I start typing. I don't type with the mic on because then people can hear it and it sounds like you're calling a call center in Bangalore. It doesn't sound like you're doing a radio show.
Unbelievable.
Okay? So just so you know, there is no silent keyboard. When you type, we know you're doing it.
Okay. I'll have to watch that.
I'm just letting you know. I mean, you know, and you say, why are you bringing it up now? It's, well, many times I just let things roll, but at some point things back up.
Okay.
You know, it's like, then you need a fucking laxative. You gotta come in here and just let it all out.
Okay.
A little stool softening.
All right. Thank you for that. Thank you for that image, Tom.
There you go.
Okay. So Dina's going to go get the stool softener for me.
Yes. Anyway, go ahead with your story.
Okay. So I was in federal court with a friend, and this massive door opens.
Yeah.
And out walks a group of maybe 10, 15 slobs. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to distract you by telling Mike to turn the microphone off.
Oh, they're going to say, this is my punishment now. From here on, you're going to do the drinking and the keyboard noise.
When we're done, you're going to know how this works. Faggot.
Okay, I believe you, okay? I swear.
Okay,
all
good.
Right? I got it the second time, believe me.
All right.
Maybe the first time, who knows?
That's good. Faggot.
So out walks these 15 slobs, and I mean slobs with, like, baseball caps and muscle messed up hair and t-shirts and just whatever. And this person I'm with says to me, oh my God, who are those? Who the hell's that? Who are those people? And I said, that's the jury. I mean, it's not a joke, Tom. You know, there are some people that take it very seriously, I suppose. But the whole theory of the jury, see, this is something you shouldn't misunderstand. The theory of it is it's supposed to be regular people. That's the whole idea. It's supposed to be your average Joe. A lot of people over the years always tried to make excuses to get out of jury duty, and basically the more busy you were, the more involved you were in work, if you were a surgeon, whatever, you would get out of it. So the people that ended up being on the jury were unemployed people, housewives, people who had absolutely nothing else to do.
People who don't know how to get out of jury duty.
Yeah. No, it's not a joke.
I know.
They actually put up some posters to show, like, celebrities. They had, like, Harrison Ford and, you know, I did my jury duty or whatever, which is just bullshit, okay?
These are the people, by the way, these are the people who get a letter sent by regular mail threatening them with penalties if they don't respond. And my response to that is, how do they know I haven't received this stuff?
Yeah, it's been to the garbage.
That goes right to the shredder.
No, there was a case that I read about. I think Tom Hanks was on the... Yeah, not you, of course. Tom Hanks was on a jury, and when the prosecutor talked to him, and it threw the whole case off. Anyway, the point is that here I have a client who's asking me a very rational question. He's saying, look, blood, sweat, and tears. I know you think I'm going to win. It's going to cost a lot of money. It's going to take a lot of effort. You know, and I could lose. That's the other scary part, right? It is a crapshoot.
Right.
I don't know what's going to happen. Things can go weird. Things can go sideways. A lot of times, as a person testifying, for example, you're nervous.
Right.
You're nervous. Of course you're nervous, right? It's your life, you know. You're in front of a lot of people. It's a courtroom. And the jury looks at you and goes, the guy's super nervous. He must be lying. You know, right. Which is not the case.
Or maybe they just don't like the cut of your jib.
By the way, it's not a joke. There's something about you that just rubs them wrong. Who
right.
knows why? You don't know what you did anyway. So then the other alternative, which is the alternative that most people take. See, this is the cruelty of it. Even though, let's say, you're innocent, for real innocent, is take a deal. Which is this thing about diversion, for example. Or literally pleading guilty and being guilty. And saying, well, who gives a shit anyway? I'm not going to go to jail. I'm going to be on probation. I won't mess up again. It'll be over. And what ends up happening, which is very, very frustrating and painful, is that people say to me as their lawyer, what should I do? Should I take the deal and get it over with? Or should I go for the jury trial? And it's impossible to be rational about a decision like that. It's terrible. And what Dershowitz talked about, and I mentioned this, is he said that there are actually a lot of innocent people who were sitting in jail who had to take deals, and deals that weren't just probation, that maybe were, let's say, 2 or 3 years in jail because the alternative was so scary. In other words, and this is something no one would want to face, but let's say I could tell you right now that if you plead guilty to some federal bullshit, okay, you're going to go to federal prison, which is not that bad compared to, you know, prisons. Federal prisons are among the best. You're going to serve 3 years, right? So, I mean, 3 years you can imagine. That's not great. Or let's go to trial, and if you lose, you could serve 20. 20 is the end of your life. 20 is everyone that you ever knew going their own way, not seeing your kids, not seeing your wife getting a divorce, coming out in 20 years, starting your life from scratch.
Right.
So you say, fuck it, I'll take the 3.
Right.
Even though you're innocent. And I sit with somebody to try to make this decision. It's very cruel, very, very troublesome.
Why did you have to finish the sentence? Now, that time you successfully watched me tell Mikey to shut the mic off, but then you ended your paragraph right there when I needed to go.
No, but you made a stop sign hand.
To him.
You didn't do the neck thing.
I'm not giving you cues. I'm giving him cues. You, I will tell things to.
I got
to
teach you sign language, okay?
Okay, we're going to take a break. I'll say things like that. That these are cues I give you to let you know that we need to take a break. I'll tell you. But with him, I'm giving him hand signals. You know why I'm giving him hand signals? Because there's a piece of glass between us. I can't shut the mic off and say, hey, Mikey, I'm going to cough here.
I thought there's a way that you could type an instant message or something.
To Dean, not to Mike.
Really?
Really.
Only to Dean?
That's the way it's set up.
Oh, okay.
And it's okay, because, by the way, I don't want to be sitting in here typing all day to Dean and Mike like I'm on Yahoo Messenger sending messages to people. We do it with hand signals. And the thing is, everyone's fine with the hand signals except you. It's confusing you terribly.
I'm working on it.
Get used to it.
I'm sure I'll get it in the next couple of years.
By the way, can we call Elvis and get this box fixed? This is, we can't keep
But we're not
like
supposed
this.
To say his name.
I just said it was more information than people needed at the time we went. We mentioned Elvis's name.
I said it, and then you said it was
Elvis,
and then
by
you
the
said
way,
it
is,
yourself.
Elvis is one of the most talented people
the man.
In this field. He's fantastic.
I have met him personally.
All right, so you know what I'm talking about.
He is really sharp.
Yes. But right now we need this box fixed. Otherwise, every week it's going to be me telling you how the radio business works. Like, we can't be
it's
doing
it. It's
going
to be more and more confusing.
Faggot. Nothing confusing about it. Just plow ahead. Don't worry about what I'm doing.
If Elvis comes
here.
In, will he stop that faggot thing or that
faggot? No.
That can't be helped.
No. Faggot. That's Mikey. Mikey's putting that in.
All right.
All right. Now, see, this is one of my cues to you, Adam.
Oh, yes.
Now we're going to take a break, faggot. And, and when we come back.
Wait, when you say take a break, and he keeps doing that faggot thing, or that's, like, separate?
He's doing that on his own. He picks an opening and puts it in there.
Okay.
All right. I have nothing to do with it. I my hands are not.
I thought you were signaling him or something.
No, if I were signaling him, you'd be stopping and ask me what I'm doing.
I went to a faggot.
I'm not signaling him. I'm keeping my hands on my lap here. I'm trying not to signal him at all because you'll get confused.
But how does he get that? I never said that. I went to a faggot.
You see that?
How did he do that?
He takes snippets of stuff you've said in the past, and he banks them, and then when they come in handy, he plays them.
Yeah, but it sounds so, like, clean. There's no choppy whatever.
You're welcome to the world of digital communications.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I went to a faggot.
All right. So we're taking a break. I'm letting Adam know we're taking a break so he doesn't embarrass me or himself by interrupting me by continuing with another story at a time when we're going to play some commercials and do whatever it is we do. It's the bonus hour of the Todd Likas Show, and somewhere in here we're talking about criminal law with our criminal defense attorney, Adam Sachs, and taking your calls, and you can call this number right now at 901-3000-TOM. It's 901-3000-TOM. You got that? 901-3000-866.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Summer is here, and it's a great time to enjoy a new car. And our friends at Spring Honda are fully stocked to make it easy for you to drive off in one of the most reliable rides on the road. Now, Hondas, you know how I feel about them. I've had great experiences owning many of them over the years, and I highly recommend Hondas for their value and reliability. And face it, they can be fun cars to drive. Check out their selection and great prices at SpreenHonda.com. They spell it SpreenHonda.com. Now, you can drive by Spreen's huge dealership in Loma Linda or give them a call at this number, 909-799-7070. Spreen Honda. Now, they also have a huge selection of quality, affordable used cars of all major brands. It's all right there at Spreen Honda, just off the 10 freeway in Loma Linda, about 30 to 40 minutes from most parts of L.A. and O.C. Now, call or drop by today. And tell Jeff Spreen, he's a P1, by the way, and his great staff that we sent you. It's 909-799-7070. Spreen Honda, SpreenHonda, at SpreenHonda.com.
We took an Italian from Philadelphia and a Czech from New Jersey, and we threw them in a swamp together with a limited supply of booze and pills. And shit gets crazy. They ain't just stupid. They're swamp stupid. Go to GaryandDio.com.
Everyone knows someone in a bad marriage or relationship who doesn't get laid and puts up with all kinds of crap. Well, now there's a new YouTube show about why you shouldn't get married or have kids. It's called I Don't. The show follows a young guy who's planning to propose to his girlfriend, but is confronted by his two older brothers on whether or not to go through with it. Now, one brother is happily married, and the other brother, happily single. Other Likas listeners are loving it. Arp on the Internet said this is like a Likas 101 instructional video. Joe Goodman said, wow, the series was awesome. Love the ending. And at Just Lauren B said, this is a 30-minute sitcom waiting to happen. All episodes are available for free right now on YouTube. Simply go to idontseries.com. That's idontseries.com. And don't forget to share it with that someone in your life. You'll be doing them a big favor. It's I Don't at idontseries.com.
Hammer time.
It's the Tom Likas Show, a bonus hour at 901-3000-TOM. We're here with Adam Sachs. This is your free legal advice, so this is your clarion call to call in here and get your legal questions answered at 901-3000-866. 866. Here's Charles in Berkeley. Charles, you're on the Tom Likas show with Adam. Hello.
Hey, hello, Tom.
Hello,
hey,
Charles. What can I do for you?
Hey, yeah, I want to talk to Adam.
What's going on?
Here's what's going on. I have this felony arrest record that was thrown out of court. So I never got a conviction. So what I'm trying to figure out is how to get that felony arrest record expunged.
Right. So you're actually not convicted, right?
No convictions.
Yeah, you see that's something that's not really a record. You just have this random arrest and nothing came of it. You had no conviction.
Yeah, I mean, it's an arrest on my rap sheet, right?
Yeah, well, not really. It's going to be there. You really can't do anything about it because you were arrested. I had people that asked me to do stuff like this, but the important thing is you were never convicted of a crime. Right?
You know, I'm sorry. I had a little trouble hearing. Can you repeat that?
What I'm saying is that you were never convicted of a crime. So there's nothing to expunge. I mean, I'm happy for you. You know,
no, but you know, I sat in jail for 3 days, and you know, I have a record of my arrest, and my public defender got it thrown out somehow. Isn't it still on my record?
No, it's not. You weren't convicted. The only thing that would be on your record would be the record of a conviction.
Okay. All right, so I guess I have nothing to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad about it. I'm sorry you spent time in jail. I don't always speak very highly of the public defender, but it sounds like you had a good outcome, and I'm happy for you. It's great, but basically...
Yeah, I'm just wondering, you know, if it's going to be there. Like, I'm looking for a job at Lockheed Martin, or, you know, what if I'm trying to get a security clearance?
Well, if you could ever have it come up, you know, if they ask you if you've ever convicted of a crime, you say no. I don't know if they'd ever ask you if you were arrested. If you were going for a top secret security clearance or something like that, they might ask you a question like that, and you would explain that you were arrested, it was a mistake, and the charges were never brought or they were immediately dropped, and that's the end of that. I mean, this is still the United States. You know, you're innocent until proven guilty, and so you're innocent until proven guilty. Seriously. I mean,
I'm sorry, Adam. I can't hear a word you say, but thanks for the advice. I really appreciate it. And
I feel bad, Tom.
Take me out retard stuff.
All right. Here you go.
You say that you call people retard and they're not special?
Somehow that was appropriate.
I feel bad, though. He wasn't hearing me.
Well, after he's done, he can turn up the speakers and hear the last minute of our conversation.
Wow.
And then he'll know what you said.
All right.
You want to repeat it in brief?
He can listen to the thing. Basically, what I was saying was is that he didn't really have anything to expunge because apparently he was arrested, held for a few days, and then ultimately he had it dismissed. That's not pleasant, and that's not a good thing, obviously. But if he wasn't convicted, there's nothing to come up. You have to look at employment applications or applications for security clearances and other things like that very carefully. And they're usually going to say to you, have you ever been convicted of a crime? That's specific. Right. If they say, have you ever been arrested or arrested for anything and any reason whatsoever, you might have to say yes, but then you can just write, I was, and nothing ever came of it.
How long would you have to be in jail, falsely accused of something, before you would have an action against a municipality?
I think it depends on the circumstances of the arrest. It wouldn't have to be very long at all. I mean, it depends on what they did. And if it was really like a wrongful prosecution or was like some kind of a demeaning thing, they did it for spite or out of racism or whatever it was.
That's a lot to prove, though. I mean, if you had me in jail for 3 nights and then you said, okay, you can go, that's 3 nights of never getting back. That's 3 nights I have to explain to everybody where I was.
Yeah, it's terrible.
You know,
it would be very unusual. They used to arrest, like, drunk people, and they put them in the tank to, like, dry out for a couple of days or whatever. You know, there's a lot of sensitivity now. What ends up happening, unfortunately, for people that do get arrested is they get arrested, like, over the weekend, or they get arrested on, like, a Friday evening.
Right.
So then you have to wait to go in front of a magistrate, and you have to wait till Monday when the courts are open.
Right.
So you end up spending the whole damn weekend in jail or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's not like doing hard time, but of course I'm sure it's very unpleasant for most people.
For me, it would be beyond unpleasant. I would say to myself, you know, those are 3 days of my life I'm not getting back.
Yeah.
And if I had any way to extract retribution using legal means, I think I would.
It's very hard to know. I mean, I try to think of the police as being professional. You want to think that they're not arresting you because they hate you or because of your religion or whatever it is. Things happen. I was watching this, you and I being the old New Yorkers in the crowd here, Tom, originally anyway. I was watching this this very heavy black guy, maybe 300 pounds, that they, in Staten Island, they like choked him and the cops jumped him and pulled him down to the ground and killed him. They really did. They actually strangled
him,
the poor guy. He went into some kind of a coma and he just died right there on the sidewalk, and they're kind of standing around poking him and stuff, you know, and then the EMS comes and they don't do much of anything to help the guy either. It's really disturbing to see that. You don't know how the police were, like, what were they thinking? It's terrible. You like to think that that's the exception, you know?
You like to think that. There's a lot of things I'd like to think.
What I saw, and this is something that I saw from, you know, Mr. Checkpoint did a couple of videos like this, and these are kind of on YouTube nowadays. There are people that go through a checkpoint or whatever, usually the whole DUI thing, and they don't fully cooperate. And they just say, look, I don't want you looking at my car. I'm not going to roll down my window or whatever. And the cops just overreact. It's terrible. I mean, you have these, like, very average-looking cops, you know. The guy just goes ballistic, and he's like, you listen to me. You roll, you goddamn you. And they start really, you know, messing with the guy. And it's really hard. I think that it's very bizarre how people kind of put a badge on, and they sometimes lose perspective in that way. But, you know, the idea of being in a jail or whatever, and, you know, spending the weekend, one would hope that at least you did something. It wasn't strictly for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, you would hope.
That's got to be one of the most terrifying things, to be falsely accused, right?
Yeah. Yes. Well, it's happened to me, and I know how it feels. And years later, as you found out, as I have known all these years, people always got to throw that in your face for the rest of your life, no matter what.
Well, but see, people don't read the whole thing.
Right.
I mean, I've it's like, what? They go, well, your friend Tom Likas, you know his background. I'm like, what fucking background are you talking about?
Right.
I mean, it's really wrong, and it's terrible. And hey, what was that, 20 years ago, right?
More than that, like 21 now.
That's supposed to be some black mark on you forevermore, you know?
Right. I was never convicted of anything, but that doesn't... Again, you know how trolls are, and...
I don't just mean trolls. I mean the way that people look at things.
But people are looking at it that way, are trolls, in my view, because anybody who's read the whole story knows I was never convicted.
Right.
I remained married after that incident. I remained married for another 7 years.
That's altogether amazing.
I know.
You're actually a lot more forgiving, I think, than you care to admit.
Well, that's part of how I became who I became, having been through that.
I would have found it very hard to forgive. I would have, you effing bitch. I can't believe you did this to me. Especially going to those lesbian classes.
I now have a zero tolerance policy.
Yes, of course. You've upgraded your policy.
Yes, I have.
But if you're, without being too specific, if your marriage had lasted another 7 years, you obviously worked it out with her somehow.
Well, but
now
that, but clearly that had never happened. I mean,
I understand, but she started it. She instigated it by calling 911.
And the police report was full of fiction, like that I threw a glass at her head and things like that.
Yeah.
You've probably read it.
Yeah,
on the smoking
gun.
Do you really think she had a glass thrown at her head? Come on.
Hard to believe.
Would you stay with someone 7 more years with a glass at your head?
Honestly, Tom, I can't see you doing it.
I wouldn't recommend anyone staying with somebody.
No, but...
Somebody throws a glass at your head, today is the day to leave.
The police are the police, but I mean, I know you personally. I know you would never do that.
Of course I would.
It doesn't make sense.
No. We'll take a break. We'll go back. We got more calls coming up. We have a call from Philadelphia. We don't get Philadelphia.
That's Dino's old home, right?
I know. So we're going to talk with Philadelphia, with Riverside. We're going to tell people how they can get in touch with Adam coming up here as we continue with this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show.
No transmitters, no satellite dishes, no corporate bullshit. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Okay, boys, let's talk about step-ups. That's step-ups, top quality insoles. Now, as you know, chicks bring so many deceiving tactics to the game, it's ridiculous. Fake knockers, nails, eyelashes, hair color. How about high heels? Women are never the height they appear to be. Well, now it's your turn to even the playing field, and that's where step-ups come in. With step-ups, anyone, even you, can be 2 inches taller instantly. Thanks to revolutionary technology, step-ups fit perfectly inside your shoe, and no one will ever know they're there. And while wearing step-ups, you can do anything you normally do. Get them now for the ridiculously low price of $21.95 And not only that, for a limited time only, enter coupon code TOM101 and get free lifetime replacement on your step-ups. Did you hear that? Lifetime replacement for Tom Likas Show listeners only. Plus, they'll throw in a free upgrade to priority shipping. Go to step-ups.com for a unique, ultra-comfortable walking on air experience. Life is short. You don't have to be. Get step-ups today.
Do you have tiny balls? You know, you once had big balls, but things started changing around you. First television, then your favorite radio station. It all became so vaginized that slowly but surely, your balls just started to wither away. Well, don't worry. You're not alone. Up to 98% of men suffer from tiny ball syndrome. That's right, TBS. But now, there's hope. 4 out of 5 doctors recommend New Normal Rock. New Normal Rock, just by removing ballads, broads, and bullshit from your hard rock diet, will help you grow your balls back and get you back to that big bald lifestyle you deserve. New Normal Rock. Newer, faster, harder rock for big, healthy balls. Ask your doctor. New Normal
Rock. How do you like to improve your financial future? Simply by watching videos. Well, these are not just any videos. They're webinars by Dennis. And they could be exactly what you need to get on the road to financial success. In his 30 years as a consultant and tax professional, here's someone who's seen it all, breaking down the books of hundreds of clients and even helping people like you start their own business ventures. And with that experience, he's developed a trusted reputation as having a unique and insightful look at both the successes and pitfalls of those seeking to attain personal wealth. And now he's sharing that knowledge with you in a series of videos called Webinars by Dennis, packed full of experiences, anecdotes, and practical tricks of the trade that can help you find that business angle that's been eluding you. Watch them on your Mac, PC, or smartphone, and become inspired to succeed in the way you've always dreamed of. Just go to this website, webinarsbydennis.com. That's webinarsbydennis.com. You could be one video away from living the dream.
Hammer time.
The Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. And we continue our bonus hour with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
You can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. I answer my own phone. You can also check my website, www.adamlawyer.com, and send me an email. I love getting email. It's adam@adamlawyer.com.
That's adam@adamlawyer.com. You got that? Here we go.
All right.
Paul in Riverside, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Uh-oh.
All right, Dean is going to teach him the facts of life. We're going to go to Dave in Philadelphia. Dave?
All right, Philadelphia.
Yes, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Dave, hello.
Tom, Adam, how are you guys doing tonight?
Hey, all right. Dave, what's going on, man? City of brotherly love.
City of brotherly love, yeah. We're brotherly shoved, depending on who you talk to.
Wow, I haven't been there in years. What's going on?
Not much, not much.
You may not believe it, but I took the Pennsylvania bar examination in Philadelphia, and I am licensed in Pennsylvania.
You took the Pennsylvania Bar Association, the test in Philadelphia. You're fading in and out.
Yeah, I'm being serious. See, Tom, something's going on with my mic.
Nothing's going on with your mic. It could be a phone problem, but let's just plow ahead here and answer the guy's question, and then we'll figure it all out.
Okay.
All right, so I was... I had a situation in Florida about a year or so ago, and I was facing two felony charges. The plea agreement that I reached with the courts was a withhold of adjudication with 9 months probation. My question is, will that show up on a background check, and will that have any negative ramifications for me?
Well, that's a lot like what we talked about with Tom just now. So it sounds like you're going to do this thing and you're going to comply with their requirements, and then they'll withhold the adjudication, right? So
right.
That's like the opposite of being convicted, basically. I mean, you might want to check back at some point and get it expunged that it ever happened in the first place. But if you think about it, you're not convicted. It's just like a diversion. A lot of people get involved in some kind of drugs thing. And the courts finally said, look, we can't be locking up all these people for smoking a joint. So what they do is they have you go to basically some kind of drug program or AA or whatever, and then you pay you some community service, and then, you know, you report back to the court in 6 months, and they take the whole thing and drop it. That's really what diversion means. And that I think in Florida, that's kind of what you're talking about.
Oh, so diversion is the same thing as a withhold of adjudication.
Yeah, similar, of course.
Okay.
You see what the word means? I mean, what they're trying to say to you is we're not going to adjudicate your case. We're going to withhold it, right? And then they're giving you things to do, right? What did they ask you to do?
Essentially, it was just 9 months probation.
Okay. All right. So whatever. Sometimes you have to make restitution to your victim if you hurt somebody or you broke something or something. If it's drugs, like I said, they want you to go to some kind of classes. If it's domestic violence, they want you to go to classes or whatever. But then the point is that when you return, they've withheld the adjudication. As long as the court feels that you have done what you were supposed to and you're remorseful or whatever, they drop the whole thing. That's a great thing. That's the best thing that could have happened to you, really.
I was under the impression, just with other people that I talked to that had reached similar plea agreements in their situations, they had said to me, well, it'll still show up on your background check that you were charged but not convicted. Like, there'll be an asterisk or something.
Right.
That you were charged but not convicted.
Maybe that's true. Maybe that's true. That might be something that you could get expunged. You know, listen, what you can also just do if you want, I mean, you really want to play it, you should search for yourself. I mean, you literally, in most states, can go to the clerk of a court, particularly, you know, in this case, a criminal court, and do a search of yourself. You give them your name and your date of birth and see what comes up, because that's the same thing that an employer is going to find, or someone doing a security background check or whatever. So if I go to the courts here and, you know, I type in your name, I would see perhaps that you had this diversion or whatever it is, and then you might be a candidate, like we talked about before, for getting it expunged. Unless it's not very serious and it was kind of set aside, then it's probably just okay. And like you said, you know, like I said before, when you fill out an application, you can say, I was arrested, but I was never convicted. And most employers will let it go with that because that shows that you're all right.
Isn't it true that I don't even need to mention that I was arrested? Since it usually says, were you convicted of a felony, then you can honestly answer,
right.
Of course, no.
Well, that's exactly true. You got to be very aware of the question that they're asking. And most of the time, they're not just, you know, bothering you, were you ever arrested? I mean, that's not fair. You know, being arrested is not the point. Being convicted is the point. If you look at most applications in general, or license applications, or job applications, or security clearances, they're asking you, have you ever been convicted of a crime? And your answer, honestly, can be no. Literally. And if it ever came up and they said, hey, you're a jerk, you didn't tell us about this, you say, hey, I wasn't convicted. You know, this is still the United States. I was given this deferred thing, and that's the end of it. So I'm with you.
All right, Dave, thank you for that. Appreciate the call. Paul in Riverside has resurfaced. Let's get him in here.
All right, Paul.
Hey, Tom, sorry about that, man.
Paul, what's going on?
I got a question for you, Adam. And what I did, I got a felony way back in the day when I was young. I got it expunged probably about 10 years later.
Great.
Thinking that that would basically set everything aside and bring me back to normal. And it gave me the pleasure of being eligible to vote and do jury duty. But in California, it didn't give me the rights to own a firearm still.
Really?
So I looked into it a little on my own, and I found out that certain cases, like mine is assault with a deadly weapon, but it's a Wobbler.
Oh, come on. I think you forgot to tell us that important detail. That's a tough one.
Well, it is. It is. And my thing is, it says that if it's a Wobbler, so it's a misdemeanor, it's a felony.
A Wobbler, just to explain, a Wobbler is one that can go either way.
Yes. Yes, and my understanding of it was when you do your expungement, you can actually, at the same time, basically request to have it reduced to a misdemeanor instead of being a felony. And that is your only way in California, aside from the governor's pardon, to actually get your gun rights reinstated. So I called an attorney.
I don't think you You said 10 years ago you got it expunged, but I don't think you did.
I know that I did. I've even had background checks, like, and I get them sent to me every time. It's expunged, the conviction set aside. They've even confirmed that. And then there's a specific form. I can't remember the form number, but there's a form that an attorney told me to bring in, and there's a little box at the bottom. It's like the expungement form. And on there it said, if you check this box requesting for it to be a misdemeanor, that's really all that we didn't do. And had we done that at the time of expungement, the judge would have reviewed it to reduce it to a misdemeanor at the same time.
That's why you didn't do it, because you can't expunge a felony. The thing that you need to do is to get it changed to be a misdemeanor because it was a wobbler, and then get it expunged. So I am very dubious of the idea that you've already done it. Seriously. It's much more likely that you didn't, and that you need to do that exactly what you just described, which is first to have it reduced to a misdemeanor and then get it expunged.
We'll put you in touch with Adam. If you like, you hang on for Dean, and he will put you in touch, and we'll see what happens. Adam, once again, how can people get in touch with you?
Give me a call, shout out, at 800-340-7320.
All right, there you go. Adam Sachs, you hear him on our bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show, 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101, news for guys. Gary Zeno.
Yeah.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner, get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beers.
Better believe it.
Beer Magazine. It happened in Seoul, Korea. It happened in Germany. Now happening in China. It's women-only pink parking spots.
Yeah. This one's a little tough to kind of wrap my head around.
Yeah. They're generally closer to the store, a little wider than the average spot, and colored pink. So the little ladies can park and conveniently without hitting other cars.
Some of the little ladies are a little wider than usual.
Some of them are, yes. Is that the reason?
No, not in China, though.
Yeah, no.
China, they do pretty good over there.
It's true. They always look good from the back. I'm down with that. I get every single time I get caught like that on Melrose, man. I'm like, oh, that's got to be a hot run. I get around front.
Look
I'm
at
like,
that
oh.
Splash, 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 splash.
Yeah.
Oh, flash, flash, flash.
I like
flash,
your bulldog.
Let me take your picture.
I like your bulldog. Your bulldog.
Radar Online reporting that President Bill Clinton apparently was recorded when having sex calls with Monica Lewinsky back in the day. Intercepted by, of all people, Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of motherfucking Israel.
Israel, right. By the way, they also there's an also a story surfacing, too. A guy had written a book about President Clinton, and he had a woman that would show up. This is according to the book. This one, another mistress, not her, the Secret Service named Energizer, because she would just go up and bang Clinton the minute that Hillary would leave. I mean, like the minute she walked out, so everybody had all eyes on. And
And was Bill then energized after that? Is that the reference?
Well, no, she fucks like an energizer rabbit. Excellent. I think is how that's my assessment of it. But they would all keep an eye out, wait for her to leave, and instantly this woman would just come in, and she didn't have to follow protocol like everybody else. She didn't. She just walked right in, got banged, and then would leave.
Yeah. Radar Online also has a fascinating piece about Ben Stein, who I didn't realize was still alive. Apparently.
Yeah, he's actually on TV. Like, does all these guest spots too. I guess the dude's apparently pretty smart, except when it comes to his personal life.
Yeah, well, with broads, apparently, this is like a little bit of a problem. He had run into some broad that writes a blog, a former escort, I guess,
right,
who happened to be pregnant, by the way, ran into her at an airport, and then the two of them exchanged contact information, and apparently Ben was willing to fly her to Los Angeles and put her up in a hotel, claiming to just want to kiss and hug her.
Yes.
He's married, by the way. And
correct.
She's pregnant.
Is the child named Bueller Stein by any chance?
Yes.
He also, they were texting for about 4 months, and then that's when he started to ask for these pictures. And,
yes,
of course, you know, he started asking for pictures of racy things. And then I guess now she's 4.5 months right. pregnant, and she basically, it all boiled down to he didn't care. He just wanted to hug and kiss and maybe touch her belly.
By the way,
maybe.
You do know that he appears on these shows as a conservative.
Yes, well,
not as an actor.
This is typically a conservative, closeted, closeted
yes,
fucking
exactly.
freak. Yes,
absolutely.
Exactly.
That's
yes.
right.
Of course, yeah. By the way, he's not even asking to really fuck this girl. He's saying to her, I realize that you don't even want to fuck me. I don't want to fuck you. I'll just take some kissing and hugging and rubbing your fucking pregnant belly.
Yes.
It's not even his kid, and he's putting her up in a hotel just so he can kiss her.
And do we know how Mrs. Stein feels about this?
Mrs. Stein apparently is aware of his straying from the marriage, and there's some kind of agreement that he's
right.
allowed to do it.
So he's got clearance from the control tower?
Apparently so.
Really?
Sounds like he's got things nailed down. He just does stupid
yes.
things, that's all.
Exactly.
And it's because it's Ben Stein, that's the only reason what makes this story interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't expect this old dude to be kind of saying weird things to pregnant girls. But basically, he responded to her after she rebuffed him, saying, your note hurt my feelings, it's insulting, and shows zero appreciation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Finally, pick alert, Lea Michele on a boat in Italy. And there's nip slip involved. This is probably one of the most unspectacular nip slips, unless you're like a huge Lea Michele fan, and you know, just any sign of nipple is
good because you're not going to get it in real life. It's
right.
very hard,
but
yeah,
it's there.
It's definitely
there. It's there.
Yep.
I mean, that's the real thing. There's plenty more at newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
I like your bulldog.
Be sure to check out our podcast at GaryDino.com. It's a brand new show every single Friday. It's GaryAndDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Here you go. Just what you need to kick off your summer. Foco Liz is back with brand new additions to the Foco clothing line at FocoU-FocoMe.com. T-shirts, tops, tanks, and accessories for both guys and chicks, all designed by Liz and made with high-quality materials. Grab yourself a classic tee in sizes small to double XL. Or check out the accessories, including wristbands, hats, bags, and more, for you or to give as a gift. It's all Foco, and it's all at the right price. Show your support for an original P1 who has not only supported the show for years, but has fed the content kitty with those gems you'll never forget. Show her some love at FocoU-FocoMe.com. Today, it's the complete line of everything Foco, but the ceviche, of course, at FocoU-FocoMe.com.
This is the new normal.